Hello, hello, Susie here. Welcome to today's workshop call. We were a couple of minutes late starting our sound check this morning because the technology was not behaving itself. And there might have been a couple of you who heard me swearing at the technology to start working just before we started. If you did hear me swearing, I apologize. But here we are. This is real life. Sometimes technology doesn't work and sometimes I swear. So looking forward to today's session. We do have a couple of apologies. And so for those of you who are listening to the recording, sorry to miss you in person, so to speak. Anita McLaughlin, Diane Irving, Liz might be a bit late, I think, and Julie Donnell couldn't be here. So let's go ahead and get our cameras on. So I can see your gorgeous faces. I don't know how to do that here. Let me see. Do we have cameras? Natalie, you might need to enable cameras. I'm not real sure how to do that. Robin has got, her daughter is doing a performance this morning. And so Natalie has stepped in. And so just be patient with us while we figure this out. If you have a camera, go ahead and turn it on. And if we can enable all the cameras, we'll get to that in a second. Let's keep going. Nat, next slide, please. Yeah, it's not letting you. It's not letting her do that. Okay, you might need to put a call into Robin while we keep going. So here's what's coming up. We have some fabulous ideal moments. You guys have been active in the group. We are talking all about money. We are going to give you some study tasks at the end, look at what's next, and if we have time at the end, we will answer your questions as well. So yeah, guys, so with the cameras, just hang in there. We'll just figure out why it's not working. And Nat, if you could actually get Jenny to call Robin, or if you can call her. You can't do both, obviously, while you're advancing slides. So let's get started. Next slide, please. We are diving into a new growth zone. Now, throughout the year, we have been exploring the different growth zones, sometimes circling back to some of them, like sales and marketing, which is the one that we do look at a few times a year. But the one that we're focusing on today and for the rest of, next 4 weeks, so into January, is the money growth zone. So as you work through the growth zones, you'll each find things that are really natural for you, that you are really good at, and then there'll be some that are a little more challenging, that are real blind spots for you, or areas that you just don't like dealing with. And for me, money was a block definitely in the early years. I very much kept my head in the sand about it and didn't really face it head on. And that can often happen, especially when money is not being your friend, when money isn't flowing in the door. Show me the money, says Fran. Yeah. There was a preacher called Reverend Ike, who was a New York African-American minister 20-something years ago, and he used to say things. He used to preach about prosperity, and if you listen to the Her Business podcast, you might have heard me talk about him just in the last couple of weeks, because he would talk about speaking nicely of money, otherwise she would hear you and leave you, right? He talked about having this relationship with money, and each of us has a relationship with money, and as business owners, whether we are a numbers person or not, money is just an important part of what we do. Just before I move on, Nat, could you unmute yourself and just give me a heads up, just so I don't keep checking in with you, how we're doing with the cameras.
I am just trying to get a message through to Robin. I still can't see anything in Zoom, which is allowing me to do it though.
Okay, great. All right.
Yeah, there's no option when I click on each participant.
Okay.
Just mute and unmute.
Got it. Let's go ahead and go to the next slide. Thanks. So this is a silly picture I found this morning on the interwebs of ABBA. And they had that song called Money, 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 which is obviously one that is very memorable to many of you. And she, the lyrics start with, or part of the lyrics are, I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, they say I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball. So here's the thing we know. A man is not a plan, right? And as business owners, we need to get money to work for us. Ourselves and our businesses are such an opportunity for us to create lots of wealth and lots of money. Getting literate around money What is an income statement? What is a balance sheet? What is a budget? What is a cost of sales? They're all part of learning the language of money. And the more you learn, the more empowered you will be. It is still not my favorite topic. I would rather create a marketing funnel any single day than dive into the numbers, but I no longer feel at the effect of the numbers. And sometimes the numbers are good and sometimes they're terrible, but what we want to do is be in control of them and not them in control of us. Who's not singing along at home, said Ange. Change the word man for plan. Very good. All right. So we are going to apply the ideal business system to this growth zone, and we're going to demonstrate why we want to start with identifying our financial strategies and our financial goals, and then we'll go through the system. When we are creating our strategy, we're actively going to work on the identify portion here today. But once we've done identifying, we design what our financial goals are, what our strategies are going to be, then it's the time to look at engaging. What actions are we going to take to bring in that revenue we want, to have the profits that we want, and also looking at what are the leverage opportunities? What can we double down on that we have already invested in? And the ideal business system, the reason we keep revisiting it is because it is the basis of creating anything you want. I know that for sure. And it works across all the areas of your business. This system is going to help you transform your business as you get more focused on the things that make a real difference to your income, which impacts your lifestyle. And when you have the system working for you, hey, I see cameras. Whoa, whoa, whoa. All right. Fran's got her up in the hand in there. Okay. So if Fran's got a camera, then I imagine it's available to the rest of you as well. Here we go. Oh, there are my gorgeous idealists. If you don't have a camera, don't worry too much. But if you do, it is now available to you. Hey, Viv. Good to see you. Hey, Kay. Hey, Laurel. Perfect. Hey, Chandra. Sorry, I haven't said hi to everyone. Hey, Ange. Hey, Christy Lee. Have to be like romper room here. Acknowledge every single person. Maria. Okay. Let's look at our ideal moments. All right. So the first one here, I laughed so hard with this one. This is Chandra. She's doing a little dance because she got 14 new members in her Facebook group. She did a welcome post and has had some great engagement. And they all came from someone suggesting her in a comment response to someone's post about being unhappy in her work life and wanting a change. Thank you for sharing that. Yes. And congratulations. I have seen a direct correlation between an engaged group and sales. So these are the people who said they've raised their hand to be part of your world. And these are your potential new clients, your referrers, your alliances, all those things. So congratulations. Just by way of nod, did you do that Facebook engagement course that I referred members to a couple of weeks ago? You did. Okay, great. Great. She had some really great ideas around engagement. Jane Gallagher says, we have a plan. And she shared a photo. She says, look, it's quite organized now, but you should have seen it a few hours ago. Good that there were two planners in the pack. Thanks, Izzy Daphnis, for the guidelines. Two very useful. And Ange was asking for help for her mocktail recipe book, which I need to ask Ange, is it available? I want it. Hang on, I'm trying to find Ange. No, not available. Yes. Okay. Tell us in the chat. Yes, Jay. We all want the cocktails book, says Chandra. Yes. Mocktails, Chandra. Right. And Chandra had a second moment, and this is where she was getting suggestions for her tagline. And so thank you, everybody, for all the wonderful feedback, as you can see there on the right-hand side. So thank you. And Ange says, not yet, but later today or tomorrow. Well, please share it with us. I'd love to share it with our community. So do share it both here in the group and in the in the member share your offers post, and I'll pick it up from there and we'll share it further. So that's what's been happening in the group. Today we are talking, as I said, about the money growth zone. Now, I've always been a marketer, not a numbers person, and I told myself that was my justification for the longest time of not looking at money. And I pretty much left it to PJ, our accountant, to make sure I wasn't digging a hole, you know. But it did get to a point where I realized that keeping my head in the sand really wasn't serving me. It wasn't empowering me as a business owner. So I did start to educate myself. And now every single month I do look at the numbers. Plus we set targets and we set goals, and that very much drives our business. And there's a saying that what you count counts. And if you're not paying attention to the numbers, it can be really easy to get into a hole. It can sort of turn, go south, as the saying goes, very, very quickly if you don't look at it regularly. And so gone are the days where any of us should be, you know, looking at having our accountant look at our numbers once a year. We need to be so on top of it all the time. And I know that inside this group, inside of our whole community, but especially inside this group, there's people who are doing seven figures. There's people who are doing mid six figures. There's people who are doing six figures. There's people who aren't quite doing six figures yet, right, for whatever reason. And so I know that the numbers are going to be different, but the principles we're talking about here are the same, you know. And your accountant, your bookkeeper, they can really help you become more financially literate, but there's also education that you can do on your own, and there's a resource I'm going to give you a little later today, so I have to remember to do that. So as I said, we are using the Ideal Business System. We're going to identify some financial habits that we want to develop. We're going to identify some numbers that we need to know before we design how to get there, who and what we need to engage, the actions we want to take, and then what the leverage points are. So we're going to start with this. Basically, know your numbers. It's empowering. It is something to get excited about, especially when they're good, right? When you get 14 new people in your Facebook group, you get excited. When you get 15 people in your challenge, you get excited. I want you to get as excited about the numbers of sales and the money in the bank. And though success is not just about money, and I know I'm very mission-driven myself, more so than I am money-driven, it's a scorecard, right? It's like playing a game of sport and not recording any scores and getting to the end of the game. How do we know how we did? So money is just a scorecard for how the business is doing. And sustainability, legacy, selling your business, all those things are going to require you to have some healthy numbers, because there's only so many years we can stay in business not doing well financially. And well is totally a personal decision, right? For some women, they start their business, they want to be able to pay the school fees. For other women, they want a $1 million business. For others, they want to replace a job, right? So whatever it is, it's totally personal, and I don't mind which one it is. It just has to be working for you. And if you're not at the financial situation you want to be right now, then that's okay, as long as you have a plan in place and you're developing the habits that are going to get you there. So Deb says, listen only mode until I get to my destination. No problem, Deb. Glad to have you here. So we're going to kick off with financial goals. So this is a rhetorical question, but what are your financial goals? I want you to move into the new year, even though we're halfway through the financial year. I'm kind of talking calendar year at the moment. So are your financial goals growth? So to increase revenue by 10%, or is it efficiency, financial efficiency? Is it to increase profit by 10%? Or is it customer retention? Like, if I could just keep more customers, then that's going to increase my bottom line, right? So some of you, Karen, for instance, Jane possibly, it's just a matter of keeping more clients. Joe, keeping the clients coming back, that might make the biggest difference. Same with Christy Lee, right? Same with Ange. For many of you, it's a matter of keeping your customers current, right? So that's going to determine what your financial goals are. Or it could be, I have this great product, I'm going to take it to a new market. So that is my financial goal. So give me an indication just in the stat. Yeah, thank you. Fran's already just in the chat. Sorry. Fran's already started. What sort of goals do you have for yourself financially? And if you haven't thought about it up until now, that's totally cool. Is it for financial growth? Is it for financial efficiency? So is it more profit? Is it more revenue? Is it increasing customer retention? Is it introducing new products or going to new markets? Give us an indication inside of the chat here. Even out cash flow and growth, says Christy Lee. Great. Changing the percentage of revenue from different offers. Yep. Revenue, says Ange. Growth and more repeat business. Terrific. These are great. Increase revenue by launching more products, says Maria. Viv, grow profit enough by August to employ a 25-hour-a-week customer service assistant on site. See, these are really specific. The more specific we can get, the better. Increase app sales. Right. So one of the things you're going to hear me say at least once today, this being the first time, is you want to put numbers to these financial goals. So increase app sales. I want to see you put a number to that. More repeat business. Like, you want to have a financial goal that is a number, right? Because that's how you'll know if you got there or not. So you can have quantitative goals like sales, or qualitative goals like improving customer service because it's going to result in sales. But setting goals allows you to feel that sense of achievement when you meet them. It also allows you to know, oh, am I off track or am I spending too much money in this area? Great. Judy's saying revenue, repeat business and referrals. Great. This is terrific. So you want to get very specific. So if you can say my revenue in the last year was this, this is what my revenue is in the next year. My repeat business was this much, this is how much I want it to be. My referrals were X. Now I'm creating a built-in, not bolted on, way of getting referrals. And so I want this percentage of revenue. It could be that I want to work fewer days. I want to work, you know, fewer days a week. So I know that that might be, we could close off that microphone. If we can work fewer days a week, that might be a financial goal for you. You may not want more revenue. You might want to, or you might want to work fewer days and make the same revenue. Or you might say, you know what? I'm going to work 3 days a week. I don't mind if the revenue drops a little bit because I'm choosing lifestyle. But what you want to do is you want to be definite with the infinite. And that is about setting your numbers. How many are you going to sell? How will, some of you have done some new things this year. You've developed a new course, being clear. This is how many people I want to get into the course and this is how much revenue is going to come from that. If you're setting a challenge or doing some free activity or lead gen activity, then it's this is how many people I want to get in there, and of those people, this is how many I then want to sell my product or service to. So Be Definite with the Infinite is the name of one of my recent podcast episodes for Her Business, and in it I talk about Reverend Ike, and that saying came from him. He says, you want to be definite with the infinite. When there's infinite possibilities about what you can put your attention on, when there's really an infinite upside to your business, when you could pick any random number, you want to be definite with the infinite. This is how many sales I want, right? This is how many people I want to get through the door of my paint shop. This is how many people I want to have come through my florist. This is my Mother's Day promotion budget, right? These are my Christmas sales from my store, Deb, right? So you want to be definite when it comes to your numbers, right? You might start to crunch some numbers like, well, I know if I grow my Facebook group or my wait list to 300 people, then I know I can depend on this many sales. And this comes with experience, right? Some of you are doing this as a new thing. Some of you have been in business for a long time. But I know, and Fran can attest to this, when we do one of our free workshops, we have kind of a benchmark. And Fran said to me when we were doing the last workshop, which I think was the Grow Your Network workshop, she said to me, how many new members do you think you'll get out of this group? And it was a Facebook group. And I said, I think about 10%. And there were about 600 members in the group. We ended up doing a little more than 10%, but I got that 10% because it was a benchmark from a previous year. So now I know the more people in that group, the more, if I can maintain that 10%, that's what revenue might look like in the next year. So it's just about finding what are the numbers that are important for you in your business, that are the levers, and keeping those in mind. So the other thing to know about your financial goals as you're looking at the new year, are there going to be things that you absolutely need to think about? Like, you want to employ a new person, that's going to cost a certain amount of money. Maybe you've been waiting to buy that CRM or invest in that CRM. That's going to be a certain amount of money, right? So sometimes we think about the cost of developing a new program or a new offering, but you also want to think about what some of those other harder costs might be in your business. So I'm going to stick on income here for a moment while we're talking about it. So what is the income that you want to see in your business in the next year? I'm not asking you to tell us here in the group. When is the income going to come in, right? Because sometimes, you know, we think about an income and then we divide it by 12. And often life doesn't work like that. So someone like Linda Milius is going to have Valentine's Day with her florist. Valentine's Day. What is it called? Mother's Day. Like, she'll have her regular things, funerals, weddings, that sort of thing. But maybe she sees a trend now because she's been in business for a while that a lot of weddings happen this part of the year and this part of the year. And so my income is going to have these peaks at those times. And what type of income? Do you have recurring income? Like, are you on a retainer? Do you want more retainers as part of your income? Are people going to be paying you in installments? Do you have contracts that last for a particular period of time and therefore you can predict the income there, but you know that there's an end date? Is there one-off income? Like, some of us don't have passive income that comes in all the time. We don't have a clinic that has a clientele, say like Ange, or HR clients like Christy Lee might have, who, or people who have print needs like Viv would have, who are regular clients. And so, you know, every month I'm going to get this much income just because of the way the business runs. For some of us, we do not have that. We need to really design what the income's going to be. Now, Jay Abraham, who's a longtime marketer, talks about these three ways to grow your business. And I'm going to relate these to your income right now. The first is to increase the number of clients. So get more prospects to become paying clients. The second thing is to increase the average transaction value. So this could be in your financial goals for 2020 that you're going to be increasing your prices, or you're going to introduce upsells and cross sells that allow you to increase the transaction value. This is, would you like fries with that? The next one is to increase the frequency that the average client buys from you. Now, this can be tricky with some things, but if we imagine Kay, she could have more frequency if she perhaps offered a quarterly, you know, new season something, or an annual wardrobe review, right? Something that creates people having to go back. They get styled by Kay, they figure out their colors, they figure out their style, personality, and what suits them, and then they go away. And so what she could do is she could build in ways to increase the frequency by having them come back. Chantelle Gilbert, who owns Blue Gum Electrical, she sells electrical, she sells solar, and she sells air conditioning. What she doesn't sell is maintenance, but that's her recurring revenue. That's the frequency. So they're not going to buy a new air conditioning unit every month, but she could get them on a retainer where they get serviced every 6 months and the filters get changed. So you want to think about these things when it comes to your income. Tourism is seasonal, says Laurel. Right. So Laurel, you're going to know that there's going to be more people using the app buying your travel guides at this time of year than another. So when you're projecting your income, we're going to talk about ebbs and flows in a moment. You want to sort of keep that in mind, right? So if you want to do, I don't know, I'm just going to use a random number, but if someone wanted to do 100,000, you're not, or 120,000, it's not going to be 10,000 a month. It might be 2,000, 2,000, 5,000, 25,000, 2,000, 2,000, 5,000, 25,000, right? Depending on the flow of the business. And this is just taking a 30,000 foot view of your business and knowing what those cycles are going to be. I want to talk very quickly about product mix, because here in Ideal, we have talked about low volume, high value. These are mostly for our service businesses and high-end things, even things like Judy selling paint services. Low volume, high value. And then for others, we've deliberately chosen high volume, low value, right? Selling low-cost items, business cards, skin products, a DIY travel guide. Again, you want to know what game you're playing. So as you're setting your financial goals, what is going to be the product mix? Now, again, if you have some experience, you can look back and you say, well, I did this sales course last year and I had, I don't know, 120 participants throughout the year. And so I'm going to do that again, but I'm going to do it fewer times and get more people. Or this is working really well. I'm going to do it every month. I'm just going to use Chantelle again as the example. So part of Chantelle's product mix for the next year is running a workshop every single month on how to have a $0 energy bill by installing solar. She's running it every month. And so what she knows is that if she gets 30 people in a room, she'll get, I'm going to make up a number, 12 applications. Of those 12 applications, 4 might come through. I'm totally making up those numbers. So she's projecting her cash flow. She's looking at her revenue based on a little bit of history, but also having a product and service mix in mind, right? That is a big area of growth for her. So what of your products and services can you see the big potential for? What products are you going to do again, but differently, maybe double down on? Maybe up the marketing for, maybe put more dollars into Facebook advertising? Or do you have a new product that you really don't have any history? So how are you going to do those projections? Are you going to do cross sells and upsells to existing clients? Our existing clients are our best source of new business. So maybe your financial goals will be, okay, I want to go to my existing database and I want to offer them this new thing. Viv's saying, we have a very seasonal division in calendar print, so have to look at annual sales in the biz, but also be aware of cash flow management. Absolutely. Christy Lee, one of my targets for 2020 is to increase the revenue in HR Unlimited on the revised 12-month program so I can project ahead and be less reliant on the ad hoc casual consultancy. By mid-year, my aim is for HR Unlimited to be the highest revenue stream. So that's a very clear goal. So when we set these clear financial goals, and you put a number to that, not necessarily in front of us, but put a number to that because that's going to drive your actions. That's going to allow you to know, am I on track? Am I off track? Do I need to ignore this bright, shiny object because I have this goal? Yeah, really clear, Francine. Am I going to take this great new product that has worked offline? I'm going to take it online. Am I taking a new product to an existing market, right? So these are all, you want to think about what the product mix is, because if you have a goal of 120,000, then you have to figure out, well, how am I going to do that? Am I going to sell? I'm sorry, guys. My mouth is going too slow for my brain. So if it's 120,000, are you going to sell 10 items or 120,000 items at a dollar, right? You just want to figure out what those products are. And maybe you have a whole lot of products in your product range right now, or maybe you have all the products you need. Maybe you don't need to develop any new products, right? That is not always the case for or the way to generate more revenue. Fran's going to go back to existing clients with my on-par sales program. PAR stands for Planning Accountability Review. Great. As I said, existing clients are your best clients. I know that there are people in our community when the next thing we bring out, they're going to want it because they know us, they like us, they trust us, they know that we get results. So much easier and so much less costly to get a person to come back than to get a new client. So as we're talking about our product mix, and some of you are thinking you want to develop new products, you want to think about what are the developmental costs going to be. And we'll talk a little more about that later, because every time we create something new, there's that cost of the marketing, the design, the copywriter, the landing page, you know, the music track, the video editing, etc. Or, you know, that new point of sale, right? Whatever it is, depending on your business. I'm sorry, I'm being a little tight in my examples here, but you will be able to map this across to you. So anytime you think of developing a new product, please think very, very carefully, because the developmental costs can be so high. And so if you're going to put that financial goal for the new something you're going to develop, you want to know that you're going to have some costs that if it doesn't work, you need to write them off. But if it does work, the next year looks much better. So the money we invested in our branding and developing the Ideal Business Accelerator 2 years ago, we don't have to pay that again this year when we ran it the second time. We won't have to do it with, you know, the way that we're going to run it next year. We won't have to develop all those things again. And so I would rather do something again and better than develop a new product for me, for this business right now. But for you, it might be something different. But don't let new products as a way of revenue be your default because you can't figure out how to make what you've got work, because there might be ways where you can tweak it. It might be the pricing. It might be going from one-to-one to one-to-many. It could be the naming. It could be a few other things that we can certainly hash out here in this group to help you move forward. I want to talk about peaks and troughs. And some of you already mentioned that you have seasonal businesses. So is the income going to come in peaks and troughs? I mentioned Linda Milius with her Mother's Day, Valentine's Day income. And of course, Viv mentioned Calendar Print, which is one of her businesses, which has this spike and then not much else for the rest of the year. So you want to think about, am I like a farmer? So I'm going to make hay while the sun shines, right? I work all year to put this big thing out, and then that's when the income comes in and I have to sustain my business. So when we had powwow events, we had about 10 or 11 speakers, but we had two mega speakers. One of them was Robert Kiyosaki and the next one was a man named John Burley. When Kiyosaki toured with us, we made about 50% of the income for the year in that month. And probably 25% with John Burley, and then the other 10 speakers, they were spread out throughout the year. So we knew that our income would be like this throughout the year. Other years, it was slightly different. The mix was slightly different, but it wasn't, you know, $1 million month every month. Far from that, some months, right? Now, with her business, we have both the sort of peak and trough and the sustainable business. So monthly membership, I know that every single month members and mentorees will income will come in. So it's pretty steady. So I know what I need to cover my costs of my staff and the rent and all those things. But then a couple of times a year, we have little peaks, right? We sell the Reach Retreat or we open up Ideal Business Accelerator, right? And so you just want to know, do I have this sort of revenue? Is that what I want in my business? Or do I want that? Or do I want a combination? I personally love the combination because I had a peak and trough business and it can be very scary when you scale up the team and you scale up the business for the peaks and then you've got to carry people through the troughs. Yeah, and Frances, my peaks and troughs are about school holidays. Yeah, so you just want to know what those ebbs and flows are because when you're looking at your financial goals and you're looking at a budget, which we're going to talk about in a minute, you want to know when you can expect it to be up and down. Steady income, like I said, I like steady income. I like retainers. I like recurring revenue. I like history. History tells you, you have a group of clients, right? So for those of you who have regular clients, that is kind of a steady income. You can kind of rely on it. Now, having a contract with a few big firms, that is not a steady income because we know those contracts can be pulled. But when you can have predictable income, it just takes the pressure off. Maybe you know, like Karina, she does a monthly stall for her jewelry. If she knows that I do that stall every single month and every single month I might get a couple of $1,000s in sales, then she can kind of count on that. As long as there aren't, you know, great things like, you know, the markets get canceled. She probably sees a spike around Christmas, but she can pretty much, if she's done it long enough, depend on that couple of $1,000s of income from the markets every single month. Like we can with membership, we can pretty much predict the income every month, knowing that there's going to be some attrition, you know, over time. And then we're going to have periods where, you know, it boosts because we bring in new members. I want to talk about expenses. Chandra says, I really like the idea of a combo, getting something regular, predictable, then adding some peaks. It certainly takes the pressure off. Viv says, our issues are our A customers, top 10 buyers. If they change their buying patterns, it's a problem for us. I would much rather recruit a bigger number of B-level buyers, less risk. Right. So you don't want all your big eggs in the one basket. You want to have some other B players, like you said, who are more your bread and butter. And this is what worries me with people who are consultants. They have one major client or two major clients. And then if that falls through, your contact is fired or they lose budget for the next year, you are out. That is not having a sustainable business. That is being beholden to a client. And I never want to see you in that sort of situation. Okay, I want to talk expenses. What does it cost to run your business? Who can tell me if they have figured this number out? Just go ahead and say yes in the chat. Have you figured out what it costs to open the doors? Yep, Fran says yes. Chandra says yes. Yes, sadly, says Viv. Great. Christy Lee says yes. Right. So, Kay says, I need to revise and update. Great. So you're all going to have some fixed costs. Now, I know a lot of you work from home. That's okay. You want to act as if you're not working from home. Now, I know you're not necessarily going to do that because, you know, you're already paying your house payment. So you don't think about, you know, charging out the desk space. And that is all fine. It's as you grow and scale, you want to think about, like, what are the real costs here? Because I could be out earning a salary. And some of you have come from very high paying jobs. So you're going to have your rent. You're going to have any salaries. You're going to have your utilities. You're going to have your insurance, right? So a fixed cost is one that doesn't matter whether you do have a good month or a bad month. It still has to be paid, right? Your electricity. It's independent of any business activities. Then you have your variable costs, right? And these are the things that change depending, right? So you don't pay credit card fees unless you have transactions. You don't pay freight unless you have stuff to ship. You don't pay for materials unless you're doing a new production run. You're not paying commissions unless you've done that sort of promotion. So you want to have a sense of what does it cost to open the doors every single day. And so for us, that is kind of our bottom line every month. We have salaries to pay. We have rent. We have internet connections. We have 10,000 subscriptions to things that all seem to be like $79 a month, you know, in American dollars that, you know, help prop up the business, you know, our CRM, our landing page tool, our webinar platform, Zoom. Right? So you want to know what all those costs are. You really do. You do not want to be have your head in the sand about any of that. Frances, to me, some of the costs are time with kids. I could do the corporate gig, but there are other costs for me and my family. Yeah, absolutely. Jane, hey Jane. Jane says, yes, but need to keep on top of it because it changes as we grow. Yes, I have a baseline. Yeah, right. As you grow, things can sneak in. I remember when Powwow Events was growing so fast. We were kind of doubling year on year. And at the time I was living overseas running a different business in America. And I would look at the figures and go, how can we be making so much money? And then this is what's left at the end of the month. And there were just things sneaking in. Suddenly every courier was a VIP courier, right? Because someone was running late or because the money was there to spend. You know, suddenly the PAs had PAs. It's like, what is going on? Right? So you have to rein it in. And as, you know, it moves further away from being you and enough people that you could kind of stay on top of it, you want to make sure you've got, you know, someone looking after those numbers every single day. And that you're on top of them as well. So there's income, there's expenses, and then there's what's left. So that's what's left for yourself. That's what's left for the business. This is really knowing that revenue does not equal profit. Okay. And so that as many sales as we can get in, at the end of the day, if our expenses, and I'm keeping it to very basic terms today. So none of you accounting folks pipe in here. I'm not giving you the glossary of terms. I'm just giving you the concepts. Income, expenses, and then there's what's left. And this is going to change over time. And I know it can be really hard when you're developing new products, when you're making that transition from a job to a full-time business, when you've just spent a ton of money developing a website and you're like, ah, how am I going to get all this back? So you want to know what the numbers are. Again, whether what's left is minimal or it's huge, you want to know what those numbers are. The other thing I want to talk about, Viv says, having your team understand costs is very important, particularly as they don't bear the pain of mistakes of money. Yeah. And I think I've shared this maybe here on Ideal. I remember a mistake had been made and some workbooks had not been shipped in time to an event in New Zealand. In fact, they hadn't been shipped at all by mistake. And so we had to air freight them. And it cost us something like tens of thousands of dollars for workbooks that were worth about a quarter of that. But we had to have workbooks for the, it was like a 3,000 people event in New Zealand, right? So we had to be really candid and say, this is how much this mistake just cost us. So what system do we need to change? What procedure do we need? Whose knuckles do need to be wrapped for not taking care of this? I do want to talk about business and personal. And I just want to be clear. And again, I know for some of you, this is like, why is she even telling me this? Your business income is not your income. Otherwise, you're not running a business. There's an accountability and a structure that needs to be put in place if this is not going to be your plaything. So when money comes into the business, that is the business's money. It is not your personal income. Because when the income comes in, you're going to pay all the expenses and your salary is an expense. Whether you're paying yourself or not, you want to have that line item. Because even if you're not paying yourself right now, at some point you will be, whatever it is. We'll talk about that next. But your business money is not your personal money. Let's talk about paying yourself. Some people say pay yourself first. Some of us know that that's not the case. We pay everybody else first and maybe we get paid. Even if you're not taking the salary that you want right now, you want to keep that in mind in your business goals and put a line item for what it might be. Right? Because if you don't do that, the possibility of it happening is less. And remember, your business income is not your personal income. It is not there for you to pay for your vacation with, etc. Some of you are going to do this anyway, and that's okay. That's the kind of business you want to have. But if you want a business that's scalable, that you're going to bring in team, that you're going to grow, then you want to treat it like a real business. What should you pay yourself? When should you pay yourself? That is totally up to you. I didn't pay myself for years in business, probably about, not properly, and I'll show you what I was doing, not properly for years. So this is what PJ and I would do. We would take money out of his savings account. I didn't have any money at the time. We would put it into the business in order to pay for things. And then the business would pay us a salary. And it was like $100 a week or something. It was nothing. Why were we doing that? Doesn't that seem stupid? We take it out of savings, put it into the business, then pay ourselves a small salary. Who can tell me what we were doing? Can anyone tell me what we were doing? Kidding ourselves. Setting things up like a business would run. Yeah. So we were developing habits, right? We were developing habits. And so I want to talk discipline. Yeah. and discipline. Habits and discipline. And so some of the financial habits that you want to get into the habit of paying attention to the money. Yeah, noticing it, noticing how little of it there was. Here are some habits for you to think about developing for 2020. Financial goal setting, starting today, doing it every year, doing it for every project, right? When you're developing a new something, and we've seen it happen here, I'm writing a book, I'm releasing a book. What are the financial goals? How many are you going to sell? What's the unit cost? What's the profit going to be? I'm doing a Christmas promotion. Great. What's it going to cost you to do those flyers, to distribute the flyers, to deliver the work? What is the profit going to be? To develop that new sales course, to put 10 people in it, to deliver that, what is it going to cost? I don't want you to underestimate the cost of your own labor in that. And I know sometimes we need to fudge that just to get the thing done, but setting your financial goals is a habit that you want to do. And setting goals for everything. I'm going to run a free challenge. This is how many people I want. Putting numbers to everything. I'm converting this many people from here to here. So my financial goal is to convert that many because that's going to increase my revenue by that much. Laurel says, I do that. It's good for record keeping. Sorry, not good generally, but if you have to do it, good to record how much you are loaning the business. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And we've loaned money to the business, especially this business, many, many times. But you want to keep all that. You know, you want to keep account of that. And that's the distinction of I'm loaning my money to the business. I am not the business, right? They're two separate things. Budgeting. You do want to get into the habit of budgeting. I do not like doing budgets. I do not like it. I do not like it. I wish I knew a Dr. Seuss rhyme about it. I just do not like it. But it has to be done, right? Because planning and budgeting are essential for getting your business goals. Because if the business starts to go in the wrong direction, a plan and a budget are going to provide early indication that something has gone wrong, right? And forecasting allows the business to simulate the effects of what's going to happen. Oh, I'm doing that sales promotion. Oh no, now there's a dip in because it's school holidays. Oh my God, I was just thinking about Dr. Seuss, says Fred. Viv says, that's critical both for your understanding and also for tax as loans to your business lower your taxable income. Yeah. So the thing about budgets is this. You want them to reflect the bumpiness in your cash flow. So if you have those peaks and troughs, then you don't want your income to look like it's all going to come in on the first of the month, every single month, if that's not the case. Now, if we set a budget, and this is why some people don't do budget, and then we don't meet the budget, it's just an indication that something is off. Either your marketing didn't work as well, or you don't have a good product to market mix, or there was too many expenses, like it's cost too much to get that website done, or to get that piece of marketing together, or to pay that copywriter, or it's not the ideal client, so you have to go back and do on that, or there just aren't enough, isn't enough margin in that. So, you know, if you're delivering a program that's $1,500, but it takes you 1,500 hours to deliver it, of course I'm exaggerating, then that's not a really good return. So you want to just put a budget together. So here's what I'm going to do. I've asked PJ to do a budget workshop for us next month. Yeah. One that's really practical, one where he's going to get you to, you know, interact so we know that we've given you all the resources we can to put a budget together, even if you don't have one right now. How many of you already have a budget? Just raise your hand or pop something. Yep, great. Yep, a few of you and a few of you don't. No problem. So PJ is masterful at this. He said, look, I'll do it as a bonus if you think the idealists want it. I said, I want you to do it. I think they'll want it. And so he's going to do that next month for you. So if we set a budget and we miss it, there's some of the things that could be going wrong. What if we set a budget and we far exceed it? Then maybe you're being too conservative. Maybe you need to back yourself more, or maybe now is the time to really invest in bringing on more team because you've got a sustainable business, you're bringing in good revenue, you're doing great, but you're doing it all yourself, right? So our budget and how we get results, what it looks like to budget, and I'll talk about those reports in just a moment, is going to really be telling as far as what you do next. So I'll talk about cash flow projections. So we've kind of touched on this. What months is the money going to come in? So if you're all smart women, right? And so, but why would we think anything other than, well, if I'm doing activity here, there's probably going to be money coming in here. Or if I'm selling a payment plan, then the money is going to come like this. So you want to be able to project and know what your January revenue is going to be at the minimum. Am I going to cover my expenses and all my team costs and everything in January? Because maybe January is traditionally low. What do you already know about the income that's coming in 2012? Some of you have got contracts, right? Jane's got some contracts that if they come through, puts her in a really great place for the new year. Congratulations, Jane. For others, we don't know what's happening in January exactly. So it doesn't matter. This isn't to make anyone right or wrong, but you just want to know what your gaps are. And a bookkeeper is going to help you with this. So let's move to the bookkeeping slide. Who does not have a bookkeeper? Anyone here not have a bookkeeper? Kay doesn't have a bookkeeper. There's some people I can't see. Some people are avoiding my eyes. Yeah, great. I really encourage you to get a bookkeeper. You might only need them 1 or 2 hours a month, max. We were talking to someone the other day, and she has a bookkeeper, but she's still doing all her own bookkeeping data entry. And we went, why are you doing that? That's why you have a bookkeeper. And she said, but it's a friend and I feel embarrassed asking her to do my data entry. We went, what? Your time is better spent bringing money into the business, seeing clients, doing the income producing work, not data entering into MYOB or Xero. Has made such a big difference, says Fran. Great. And Laurel says, yes, best thing I ever did. Yes. Jane says, absolutely have a bookkeeper, worth their weight in gold. And it doesn't matter whether you're making a little bit of money or a truckload of money. A bookkeeper is an investment in yourself. It's you saying to the universe, I have a real business. I need a bookkeeper to take care of my money. And they can really help you. Now, you should do your budget, right? Because you know your business. But they will be able to look at it each month and go, okay, this is the budget. This is what actually happened. This is where we were off. Now, your budget isn't to be tweaked every month. That's not the point. But what they'll help you do is determine activities that are not working to meet your budget and the ones that are working. Bookkeeping, having a bookkeeper is not about abdicating on the numbers. They are a key person to have on your team. And as you heard here, a lot of people say they're worth their weight in gold. Chrissy says, no, I do my own bookkeeping. I like to keep an eye on the numbers and transactions. I'm minimal and my partner is an accountant. Great, right? So that's a unique situation. We don't all have that benefit. We have a bookkeeper here, you know, who does the her business and, you know, looks after my other business, our real estate business. So we have someone that takes care of us. But the budget, determining what's going to happen in the business, where's the income going to come in, what campaigns are we going to do, that's still something that I need to drive and that PJ needs to drive. When you're developing a new product, you would go to your bookkeeper and go, okay, here's the thing I'm developing. Here's my goals. Here's what I think are going to be the expenses. Can you create a budget for me for the release of this new thing? You can do it yourself, but bookkeeping is something that, especially as you grow, is something you definitely want to leverage. And I would start with, even if it's 1 hour a month, if you can afford to have someone do that for you, it'll just get you in a good place. So, and they can give you reports. And I do not want to go through Xero and look at all the transactions. I just want reports. So I get monthly reports that show me this was the budget, this is how we're doing to budget. We're behind, we're ahead. Red light, green light, orange light. Simple as that. This is where, you know, this is how it compares to last month. This is even how it compares to last year. This was our income. Here are our expenses. Here's what's left. Are we tracking or are we not? Is there anything that's blown out beyond what we thought? So things that can blow out, your manufacturing costs. If you import things or if you buy, like we have a lot of subscriptions, as I mentioned, they're all in US dollars. The Australian dollar is in the toilet, right? So everything is costing so much more. So this is now an indicator. So do I really need that subscription to that video editing tool that we haven't used in a month? Or do I really need two ways to run webinars? Right, you can cut things out and save yourself some money. Or can I go to the bank or the post office and say, hey, this has been our transactions. Here's the what we pay. Are you able to do us a better deal? If you're not looking at your reports, you won't pick those things up. If I can see that, you know, I don't know, whatever, a marketing cost has blown out. The Reach Retreat that we run in Hawaii, that is done all, we pay in US dollars, but we sell in Australian dollars. That is a really dangerous position when the Australian dollar is going backward, right? So you need to look at the reports to see that that is happening. Does that make sense? Okay, good. Yeah, Jane says she's looking at her subscriptions right now. Yeah, it's amazing what you can find that you just haven't used in a while, or, you know, you're not using. Judy says, I had a bookkeeper until we changed accountants and they changed us to zero, so we didn't need her. So I miss my bookkeeper and feel bogged down in data entry. So Judy, I think you can probably afford to bring someone on. The fact that it's zero doesn't take away the fact that and in your role, you needn't be data entering. And sometimes we have to sell that to our partners or to our staff that we're going to incur this other cost. But your job is to bring in the dollars. It's to give your business the best part of you. And usually that's not going to be doing the data entry. So I showed you how PJ and I were paying ourselves when we first started our previous business. This is how we do it now. So our businesses pay us a salary, and then from our salary, we save and we invest. Now, I wanted to show you this because I wanted to show you the invest and the save. And I want to mention this because as business owners, I truly believe when we're keeping our money, whether you're tithing your money, if that's something you do and you believe in, or you're saving your money, I want you to think about investing. And we could do a whole session on investing, but here's what I want you to know. Investing is about investing in things that create a passive income for you, that create future value for you, compared to saving. Saving, you put it in the bank, you get a little bit of percent. It's there, it's just safe, it's kind of a nest egg. It might be there to loan to the business or to pull you out of a hole if you ever got into one. That's one thing. But investing is different. Investive is active acquisition of assets that will pay you in the long term. And so when PJ and I started Power Hour Events, it wasn't too long before we were just working so darn hard that we set ourselves a vision that we wanted to be financially free by the time PJ was 40. I'm 3 years younger than PJ. And for us, what that meant was that our living expenses, so what it cost us to run our cars, pay our mortgage, pay our monthly expenses, whether that was gym, food, social, whatever, that those expenses would be covered by our assets. So we started to invest in real estate. And so this was real estate that was spinning off cash flow. So we weren't buying and flipping. We weren't buying, renovating and selling. We were buying property that was our strategy. Yours might be stock market. Yours might be shorting stocks. Yours might be gold. I don't know what it is, but I want you to think, especially as your income grows, about when you're taking some of your money to think about how you're going to invest it, because that is how you get off the treadmill. Yes, you might sell your business, and you know we sold a business, but true wealth for us happens when we can have money coming in when we don't have to work. Because a lot of us have been sold this idea that as we get older, our income decreases because we stop working, and so we kind of have less income. And for me, that's kind of crazy. It's like my income should continue to increase if I've made some good investments. So that's just a little personal thing that I truly believe in and that I wanted the opportunity to share with you as a longer term goal. And so for us, we got that goal. And once we got that goal, business became a whole lot more fun because there was enough money coming in from our assets to cover our living expenses. And so we weren't as reliant on the business to work every single month. Didn't take the pressure off as far as, you know, we're both very driven and we like to work and we love what we do. But it did mean that we could sleep restfully knowing that our most important expenses could be covered. And Maria says, agree with the strategy. Like the idea of covering personal expenses from income from assets. Yeah, great, Chandra. Laurel says, my bookkeeper set me up with HubDoc where I scan all my receipts and she allocates them to the right accounts and reconciles with my statement. Takes me 1 hour every 3 months of data entry now. Judy, that might be something for you to have a look at. And Viv says, her first job for January, what can I save subscription for 2020? Yeah, great. All right, you're awesome. Going to open up your lines in just a moment to hear from you. But for now, I don't have a worksheet for you, but I will put this inside the group. I'd love for you to think about this as your study tasks for January. Set your financial goals. Figure out how you're going to get there. What is the product and service mix that's going to get you there? When is the activity going to occur? Like 2 months ago, we talked about planning. Last month, we talked more about our marketing plan. Now we're talking about our financial plan. So they're all kind of dovetailing. Think about getting a bookkeeper or giving more work to your bookkeeper or even getting them to help you with your first budget. But remember, we are going to do that workshop in January. And have a look at cash flow projections. Again, if you haven't done this before, I get it if you totally don't get it. There's lots of resources out there. But again, once you know your activities, once you know what income's already coming in, what activities you have, you can start to do some projections. Projections you can change. Like if you cancel something here that you were going to do, you're not going to do that, you know, end of year sale, then you can change your projections. But your budget is what you want to have happen every single month throughout the year. Great. And remember to post your progress in the group. I know you're not going to be posting your confidential numbers. That's absolutely fine. I would never ask that. But as you have questions, as you start to do some of these things, like, you know, discovering that the HubDoc tool, right? So that's something that Laurel's offered up here that might help a lot of you. It's like, scan my receipts, send it to the bookkeeper, cuts down the whole lot of time that I have to do anything with. Yeah. All right. So I'm going to leave it there for a minute. Before I move on, I want to open up your lines and see what your thoughts are, how you're feeling about numbers. Ange.
Oh, always me first. I hate numbers. Susie, so this has been a really good topic for me. I'm very aware of them, but I just hate them because I've just not got a head for math. So I just like, I always like to know what the revenue is after everything's done. So I'm happy about that.
Mm. Yep. I get it. Like I said, I'm not a numbers person either, but I feel more empowered, you know, and at peace with them now than I did a long time ago, for sure. Yeah. Thank you. And Christy Lee.
I'm a bit of a numbers nerd, so I quite like talking budget. I like fancy spreadsheets and things like that. I'm a bit of a nerd. Actually, when I was on Romper Room as a child, I took in an abacus for my show and tell. So that's how much of a nerd I am. But I actually hadn't done my budget projections for 2020 yet, so I will work on that in the next week and just get really clear about what HR Unlimited target needs to look like for it to be the main revenue stream by mid-year.
Yeah, right. Great. Great, great, great. Thank you. Coming around to Chandra.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I quite like numbers and I like money. and so I have a few fun spreadsheets. Christy Lee, you and I could have fun looking at those. but I am, in fact, I drive Mick, my husband, nuts with spreadsheets for things. He always knows that that's my solution for things. But what I don't necessarily do regularly is budgeting or forecasting. I've maybe just got into a bit of a rhythm and so wasn't putting much attention on that. So I think that's definitely an opportunity for me to dive into for next year, I think, and to look at the mix of product offerings and what the goals are for revenue from each of them to make that shift in the balance.
Yeah, great. Great, great, great. Thank you. Miss Fran.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
So I'm a bit like a plumber with a leaky tap. Like I help other people do their sales numbers and their client, you know, their revenue numbers and forecasts and well, and I help them break it down into activity. Okay. So if you're going to convert that many, how many do you need? How many meetings? Yeah, how many blah, blah, right. blah, how many blah, blah, blah. But then don't do it for myself. So lucky me, had my first mentoring session with PJ and, that's what I'm working on. So I'm
wrapped. Oh, good.
One of my homework tasks is to set all that up for myself. And it's been really good.
Good.
Moving into January, looking fundamentally different to what I have for years from an income perspective. Mm. And that's helped me make good, better decisions about, well, what do I do with my family and how do I do that? And yeah. So yay.
Yeah, you. Yeah, congratulations. Since someone's a friend, you need to drink your own Kool-Aid.
I know.
Jeez, from the bottle.
Amen.
Thank you. Viv.
The thought that went through my mind was there's safety in numbers, and I totally believe in that. I love seeing the numbers. I don't like it when the numbers are not what they should be, but it's far more stressful not knowing what the numbers are. So, and we went through a period with that when we had big issues with bookkeeping. So we actually didn't have visibility. Oh, and wow. We're running a quite high-cost business. So when you don't have that, it was super stressful. So this has been really good to remind me. I suppose the thing for me next year is to get much clearer on what Fran was talking about, which is for my marketing activities to actually understand, okay, how much am I spending on this and how many leads, how many inquiries do I need and what's the conversion rate? I've got a pretty good idea of that for the calendar print business, which is a relatively simple business,
yeah.
A lot less granular idea for my general printing business. So I really, I'm going to, after Christmas, that's my New Year thing, is to actually just get much grittier on that.
Yeah, very good. Thank you.
This has been really good timing for me. Yep.
Good. So thank you. Thank you as well. You bring up a really good point. One of the things that we've been spending a lot of money on this year is lead acquisition and running Facebook ads to a couple of different lead magnets. And so they're real costs. And so the numbers that we have to look at is not only, yay, we've got this many leads because we're paying for them, but then what happens to those leads? Do they end up buying, and how long does it take for them to buy? And are we making offers for them to convert? And if they convert, what is the average sale? How long do they stay? Like, this can be like, but we're spending real money. So we need to be responsible stewards of that money. And some of you have got hard costs. Like Viv's got really hard costs. Deb, really hard costs. Linda, perishable, you know. Oh, and Deb's a little bit, I guess. You know, so paying attention to that. Fran says, Viv can help you with that. Have a spreadsheet that might help you with that process. Good. And Sonia has arrived. We'll get to you in a sec. Okay.
What I noticed is I kind of don't like the numbers. I do keep an eye on them. So I'm not blind to them. And again, it's a bit like Viv, when they're not what I want them to be, I'm disappointed. And I suppose I also saw that thing that I am very clear about. That's my money and that's the business's money, and that I don't mix the two. So that I, you know, like I keep it very distinct, and I pretty much always have done that. So that was kind of good to go. Actually, I really do that. And then there are days where I go, the business needs, I like occasionally I have the business borrow money from the business tax account. You know, I have money where I put my tax aside, and occasionally I go, I need to borrow that back for this expense, and then I put it back. So I'm, those sorts of things, I've got good habits there. I can see though, I do some forecasting, but probably not enough. And then I can see that I'm very much affected by some of the things in my life. Like next year, we're renovating our house. I am planning to oversee part of that as a project. So I anticipate that I'm going to work less, but I haven't really looked at the financial implication of doing that, because I do want to be involved in that as a project.
Right.
No, and that's the choice, that I wanted to be involved with that as a project, but I know it will take my time. So I can see there's probably getting more into the numbers that I need to do.
Right, yes, because you might just want to adjust them for that period of time, or, you know, reduce them, or, you know, some months would be like, well, now I'm full tilt in the project, and because my income is reliant on me being with people. Yeah, so it's just making smart decisions. But yeah, I love that you're thinking about that.
But yes, but I can see that I've kind of thought about it, but I haven't really done anything about it. That's what there is to do. So I need to kind of make a strategy around it.
Sounds good. And you talked about habits, and I just want to circle back to, we talked about habits earlier. So financial goal setting is a habit to develop. Budgeting and looking at how you're going to budget is a habit. Cash flow projections are a habit you want to develop. Looking at your reports, they're all habits that will have you feel more empowered and more, you know, it doesn't matter if the numbers are good or bad necessarily, but it's just about being aware, being present to what's happening in your business rather than having your head in the sand. Hello, Jane.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great.
Good. Good. Well, thanks. Thanks for this session. We've never done budgets in the company, but we did one this financial year. And I went in and I thought I'd look at it every 3 months. So in September, I went and had a look, and the numbers looked crazy. So I just shut it down and just went, I'll get back to that. But following today, I'm going to go back and have a look and find out where we went wrong with the budgeting and fix it. So get greater clarity.
Do you have a bookkeeper?
Yeah, we do. But we probably don't use her as much as we should. So I'm going to work with, that's going to be a thing for next year, is really get some good clarity on the budget and cash flow. And certainly when we looked at our expenses in our planning, prior to the planning, that issue around subscriptions, I was just blown away by how much we were spending on subscriptions for the first, and I just,
wow.
And you're so right. It's that US dollar, it's just climbing. The costs are climbing, not the there. So it's a big issue for us. So we're looking at that. Yeah.
Mm.
So thank you.
Yeah, thank you as well. Yeah, and you have a substantial business. And so for me, one of the most liberating things was having our bookkeeper give me the reports in a way that worked for me. Right? Because I don't want to be bamboozled by the numbers. I don't want all the numbers. I just want, this is where we're meant to be. This is where we are. This is my summary and my opinion about what went wrong, or here's my opinion about what went right. Let's do more of that, right? I don't need to know the whole thing. I don't want to be that numerate. all right. Oh, sorry, I can't hear you. Go ahead.
I was saying you make a really good point there. It's about what are the few numbers I need to track that make all the difference. And I haven't got that nailed yet. So, yeah, it's good.
Yeah, very good. Well, they should be able to help you with that for sure. Maria.
Hi, Susie.
Hi.
I was just thinking, as a former management accountant, that should be my specialty, but I just really have my head in the sand, I think. But I'm really focused on it this year, like this coming year. I know that if I want to manifest money, if I'm not actually looking at it, I'm not going to be able to manifest it. So I think you can't measure what you don't track. So. So I'm excited about actually doing the budgets and forecasts for this year coming.
Thank you. You said the word manifest and it just reminded me of something. It's like, for some of us, like I grew up in a family where my dad worked, my mum didn't really work until they were separated, and then she worked because she needed to bring in some income. And we were just like, he was a builder. So, blue collar worker. We never sort of lacked for anything, but we never went on family holidays. We didn't have these oodles of money sort of hanging around. And we want to recognize that some of our beliefs about money, about how much money we can have, how much money we deserve, if you've got any ick around money, then I really encourage you to get that handle. And there's some people like Denise Duffield Thomas who work on money mindset, and there's probably other people that you know as well. It's really worth looking at. And so for me, to come from my background and not having had a master's degree or a business degree, any of that, I had to really learn how to allow money into my life in a different way than I had seen as I was growing up. And so if anyone, recognizes in themselves, like saying, I want it, but, I want more money, but that means I'm going to work harder. I won't have time for the kids. You want to make sure that what you're putting out there, you're asking for, is congruent, right? Because if part of you is saying, I want to have, I want to double my revenue next year, but then you're saying, but there's a but in there somewhere, then you just want to recognize it. Maria says she's done Denise Duffield Thomas Money Bootcamp. Oh, let us know if you recognize that. Kay, it was Denise Duffield Thomas. I have a whole course for women and money. Well, when are you running it, Chandra? Let us know. And Belinda's saying nighttime here in Boston. Yeah. Every business needs different numbers. Our accountant was giving us a sales daily report, which isn't useful. Looking at sales per month is a much better indicator. Belinda says, I have a cash flow dashboard that might be helpful. You're trying to figure out which numbers to look at. I can post in the group. Belinda, that would be awesome. I'll be coming to you in just a second. I'll open up your line. Hold on just a sec. Laurel, I can't unmute you. Off you go. Can't hear you. No. No, are you typing? You are. Okay. All right. I'm going to move on to Sonia Falordo. Hey, Sonia. I know that you came in a little late. I don't even know if you know what I'm asking.
About money. I don't know.
You'll have to go back and have a listen to the recording. We've just been talking about our financial goals and all sorts of things. So just to give you an opportunity to share, what's your relationship like with the money in your business?
Well, as a debt collector, really funny you should ask that. It's really bad. I don't do anything in the sense of forecasting, budgeting. It's probably my biggest weakness, and people laugh when I say that because being a debt collector. But I suppose that's where I have my accountant to help me out, and he gives me the figures. But I know I should be doing more, so this will may alert me to actually put that action now into place next year. I don't know what though at this stage.
Yeah, well, back up the recording when you get it and just listen in just to get, and then we'll be having this discussion in the group over the next month. So it's just about just being more conscious of where we are with our numbers and putting financial goals in place and then the activity that's going to support us getting those. So you're good, but thank you. It's good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
All right. Laurel, I'm trying you back again. Let's see, do we have it now? I think you're muted. Hello? No, I can't hear you. All right, I'll try again. Okay, Belinda Rosenblum, hello. I know it's late in Boston. That's why you have your camera off, no doubt. How are you?
I'm good. I'll turn it on. There you go. Hey.
There you are. Hey, gorgeous.
Hey.
How are you doing?
Just making some dinner. I'm good. How are you guys?
Yeah, really good. I don't know how much of the training you caught, so fill us in. Now this is her area of expertise, so
yeah.
So how's your relationship with Mike?
Oh my God, I've had to work through so much of my own stuff. It's not even funny. You know, I mean, I've been doing this for almost 13 years and did Denise's program, just have been through all of it because I found that I needed to get really clean about it to be able to teach others, right? And do this. But it's interesting. I posted to Sonia. I'm like, those of us who do money, sometimes we suffer from finance fatigue because it's like we're talking about money all the time and helping other people. And then we go and we have to do our own and it's like, oh my God, you know? Yeah. I have to do the same exact thing. I'm, you know, working on our budget for next year and teaching it. So we have our cash flow CEO signature program. And, you know, I resonated with what you were saying earlier about when you have a newer program, it's harder to know what the benchmarks will be as we grow, you know? So it's like with our current audience, we kind of know what we did like with our two launches, but then now we're planning bigger launches and more list builds with colder people that are coming into our world. So we're doing our best to estimate, you know, and create our own budget. And then, then we'll see how we do. There's my husband in the background.
Right. Yeah, great. And thank you for generously offering to put that spreadsheet in there too. That's great.
Yeah, I'll put the dashboard in. That's our like main opt-in thing and people really love it. And it's such an important topic. And, you know, I had this actually interesting epiphany you'll appreciate. So I'm doing Mike Michalowicz's Run Like Clockwork. Great book.
Yes, you're right. So for everyone, he's the author of Profit First. I know some of you use the Profit First system. Mm-hmm.
And then and he wrote a new book called Run Like Clockwork. Mm-hmm. And I had a good talk with Mike actually about it all. And what we came up with is that my thing, like my brand promise, is turning fear into action with your money, particularly turning like financial fear into positive action. So that was really fun to realize. And then to figure out how I bring that into everything we do in 2020 will be our journey, shall we say, you know, kind of what we're figuring out, but it's really good. And if I can help anybody do that for themselves, I'm happy to just post in the group or let me know your challenges. And I feel for the person who said, I hate numbers, but the more you friend them, the better they'll be, right? And the better the experience will be. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Thank you, Belinda. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Laurel, I'm going to try you one more time. Have we got Laurel? You have to unmute at your end.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Now you're going to say something really significant.
I have a new laptop and I had to install Zoom and I don't have all the settings. Yes, this has been a great reminder. I found my cash flow forecast from before I started my business the other day, and I was so impressed.
Oh,
I haven't done one since. So, That's a good reminder. Also, I've never thought of asking my bookkeeper to help me set a budget. So I will tackle, you know, I'll ask her about that. And I've got a, it's just reminded me, and I might have had my head buried in the sand, but my 3-year consulting contract finishes in April / May. Wow. And, you know, chances are they might offer me some more, but I don't know if I want it. I've been doing that for 4 years now. And, you know, I am considering working my business full time for 6 months and giving it a real red hot go. And so I've got some personal funds, obviously might need to use some of those, but really I need to put all that down on paper and in some sort of spreadsheet. I don't feel I'm capable of doing all that by myself, so I might have to seek some help.
Yeah, well, you know yourself, and as long as you have the very clear vision, that's it. You don't want to abdicate to the bookkeeper. As long as you have your clear vision about what sort of you want things to look like, they can then do the legwork of crunching the numbers. But no harm in asking for support at all, right? Business is a team sport, and your numbers person is a key person on your team. Very good. Thank you so much. Have I left anyone out? I think I've got everybody. I think I've got everybody. I know there's people who are not here today who are listening to the recording. So as I said, January is about talking about numbers. So talk about numbers in the group. Talk about numbers in the group. PJ will do that bonus budgeting workshop. We'll come back to you with a date on that. And if you can't be there live for that, then of course there'll be a recording. And then we've got the Q&A session next month as well. So what I want to do in the little bit of time that we have available is it's time to determine your first quarter project. So some of you are midway through a project, some of you need a project, right, to put your attention towards something. And I know this is a difficult time of year, so I don't expect you to have this sort of off the top of your head, but know that I will be posting in the group asking you to declare what your project is so that we can have these regular check-ins and I can know how you're doing with those. Get to the next session date in just a sec, Viv, before we go. It'll be up on our screen. So to support you with your project, I want to remind you to start at the very top. What is the vision? What is the strategic objective that project relates to? And use your ideal business success plan documentation for that. That's available for you inside of your resources, right? So we're always thinking of what is the strategic objective. And so, again, to give you an example, strategic objective might be to, you know, go from having 100% service-based revenue to 30% product-based and 70% service-based, whatever it is, right? So then what is the project that's going to help you do that? Or ours last year, our strategic objective was lead generation. So our projects were Summit, 20 Mastentor Awards download, and the quiz, right? So each one of those is a project. So what is going to be your quarterly project that's going to help you get whatever your strategic objectives are for the new year? So again, you can revisit any of that by going back to the relevant trainings or by asking questions inside the group. Our next call is on Monday, the 13th of January. That is our Q&A call. Now, because we haven't set the date for the budget workshop, it may happen before or after that. So again, I know the beginning part of the year is a little tricky for people. Our office is closing on Friday. We didn't get back till the 6th. So it could be a late January kind of workshop, but just know that's there and available for you. But for the Q&A call, remember, questions can be about anything. They might be about numbers. I mean, if they're really accounting stuff, really, I'm not the person to ask. Ask them in the group and I'll get, you know, there's numbers people here who can help you with that. But if it's about your financial strategy, then I can certainly help with that. But your ideal Q&A call is for questions about anything, right? And ideally, they're going to be questions, no pun intended, related to your project, whatever project you are getting started with. So bonus workshop, as I said, that's on the next one. And our office will close this Friday afternoon and reopen on the 6th. So I will be checking in to the group, but I won't be in there every day over the next couple of weeks. So please go ahead, ask whatever questions you have, but just allow me the grace of not having been in there. I'm going to try and take a little bit of downtime, as I know a lot of you are as well. Do we know what time? Do you mean, Fran, do you mean for the workshop? Because we haven't set a date, so I don't know a date and time. But for the next session, it'll be 11 a.m. The next Q&A call will be 11 a.m. till 12:30 p.m. AEDT, Daylight Savings Time. Yep, that's what I mean. Okay, great. Yes. All right, very good. That is all we have for you today. I want to say thank you so much. It's been an incredible year here with you, some of you second year inside of Ideal. I'm really looking forward to picking up again in just a few weeks with whatever it is that you want to be creating next to get your ideal business and your ideal life. I'm just going to open up your lines with anything you feel like saying, because we likely won't talk again like this, not till the new year. So, and you're up first.
Always up first. Merry Christmas, everybody. I hope everybody has a great, safe Christmas with your family. Don't drink too much alcohol. Mocktail book out this afternoon.
Let us have it. Christy Lee.
Yeah, look, everyone, I hope you have a great Christmas. Thanks so much for everyone's support throughout this year. It's been really great to be part of this group. So looking forward to 2020. Bring it on.
Bring it on. Thank you. Yes. Chandra.
Yes, agree. I just want to say a huge thanks to you, Susie, and PJ as well. The last couple of months have been fantastic, and you know, the support and input from the group has also been amazing. So just big thanks and gratitude for all of that. Can't wait for next year.
Thank you. And Franny.
Hey. Yes. Money's not been my friend, but it is now. So you've got to be careful how you treat money, because she's listening.
She's listening. So true. Thank you, Fran. Viv.
I love that money is a she. But I'd also like to say happy Christmas to everybody. Thank you, Susie. And I'm really looking forward to January the 13th, because that's our first day back. So a great way to start the year.
Great. Very good. Thank you. Kay.
Thank you, everybody. And thank you for the topic today of money. That is where my head should be at, and it hasn't been. And then also, Susie, while I was sitting here, my husband came and dropped a parcel on the table, and this is what arrived.
Ah, it's a little, to explain, the people who went to Reach this year got a little gift for and a card from me, and that's Kay's. Good.
A poster which I can put my tea on, so it's perfect. And it's got pineapple, which is very important. Thank you.
Pineapples are important. Thank you. Jane.
Thank you for everything. This year's been amazing. Great changes in my business for sure. And thank you for everything, everybody in this group. Have a great Christmas. See you next year.
Yeah, thank you, Jane. It's going to be a big year for you. I can feel it. Maria.
Thanks, Susie. Just wishing everyone a wonderful festive season. And I've loved being in the group. Very excited for the next year as well.
Okay, thank you. And Laurel, hopefully we have sound. You need to unmute. There we are.
Now, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. It's been wonderful being in the group this year. I don't feel so isolated. In fact, not at all. I feel wonderful support. So thank you, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everyone.
Thank you. Sonia.
Look, a plus one to each and every one of you. It's been so great being here, and a credit to you, Susie, of course, and PJ. Merry Christmas, and see you all next year.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Belinda, do we still have you? She's cooking. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, no, there she is.
Yes, I was doing that. Yeah, just really thank you, Susie and PJ, you know, for like how you lead. I think it's really so generous and very strategic. I think strategy is certainly one of your guys' total strong suits and passions, but like unique geniuses. So thank you for all that you do for us and how you lead the group. And thank I'm excited you. To get more involved next year. Yeah. So
thank
let's
you.
Go make 2020 happen. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, and whether you celebrate Christmas or you don't, or you're just looking forward to a few days off or to sit in the sun for those of us in Australia, Belinda, obviously it's very cold where Belinda is, have a wonderful break. I hope you do get a little bit of downtime, a little bit of time to reflect. It's been a joy, as I said, supporting you this year. I learn from you every single day. I rejoice in your wins. I empathize when things don't go as well as they could. And I'm just here to support you. And as I said, I'll continue to check in on the group over the break, or our break at least. And I cannot wait to see what this new year and this new decade has in store for all of us. So thank you so much. If you're listening to the recording, we missed you. We'll see you in the new year. Bye for now. Thanks, guys.